Thought for today. You make me happy. Thought for today. This is Dr. Herbert O'Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, saying, you make me happy. We have to be careful of anyone who makes us happy. Because if we allow people in our world to make us happy, we allow people in our world to make us sad. Don't ever allow anyone to be the creator of your world. And I'm serious about that. Don't ever allow anyone to be the creator of your world. You are the creator of your world. Do you think, as God, anyone else could create your world better than you do? As God, do you think anyone knows what's going on in your wonderful mind and in your creative imagination? No. You are the creator of your world, and if you ever think that anyone makes you happy or makes you sad, you're giving up the power of being yourself and having fun. You're giving up the power of being the master of your world. Now, some people like to give up the power. Some people like to give up. Now, you all know a martyr. A martyr is a woman, for instance, who is lying in her bed and saying, oh, I'm dying, I'm sick, I'm terrible, you have to help me, go get this here, do that, do the other thing. Then when you're not there, she's out mucking around, and the minute she hears you coming back in the house, she jumps into bed and says, oh dear, I'm on my last leg. Well now, that's manipulation martyr, right? You've all seen that kind. Well now, if you let a person like that make you happy or make you sad, then they possess you. They own you. If your teacher in school can say to you, that was not a very good test you did. You didn't do your best. And if you can let that teacher make you angry or make you upset, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, you say to the teacher in your mind, not out loud. But you should get a good slap in the face if you say it out loud, you know. But you say it in your mind, and that's silly. Because the teacher is there for one thing, to be a teacher, to share with you how well you're doing. And if you're not doing well, the teacher should say to you, you're not doing well. I want you to do better. I know you can do better. I know that's why you're in my class, because you're a genius. You're a top of the drawer. You're tippy-top in every way. So show me that you're a genius. But the teacher needs to know what? Diplomacy. The teacher needs to know tact and diplomacy in dealing with the students. The teacher can't just come right out and say, oh, that stinks. Your work is rotten. You'll never make it. You know, this is terrible. If a teacher does that, the student naturally says, why bother? If my teacher doesn't think I have the capacity to learn, why should I think I have the capacity to learn? And so, you see, a teacher has to be very careful. Children, by the zillions, and I'm saying zillions, because past, tenth, present, and future, children by the zillions have been untouched by their teachers throughout their lives, thank God. They have been untouched by their teachers and have just gone in. Their teacher says, you can't learn nothing. Look at Einstein, kicked out of school because he was stupid. Look at Edison, kicked out of school because he was stupid. Look at many others who are fabulous beings. Einstein, Edison, and there were others too, but they don't come to mind. But these people were kicked out of school because they were stupid. Now, my son Mark never had good grades in school because they didn't teach him what he wanted to learn. He should have learned what they wanted to teach him because it would have been his liberal arts background that would have benefited him in all the things he does. But he picked that up as he went along. And now, when you talk to my son Mark, you think you're talking to Professor Byerly. He is very literate. He speaks with excellent language. He speaks with competence, with knowledge, and with all the things that are fantastic. And how did he get it? Where did he get it? Certainly not from the teachers in school. The teachers in school really said he wasn't doing well. But he just came along fine. You're welcome to have one there. And but if it were up to the teachers to grade him, he would be doing poorly. He had a teacher in junior high school, and the teacher says, okay, class, get permission from your parents, and I'll take you all up flying. So they got permission from their parents, and he took them all up flying. And Mark came home from school that day and said, Dad, I want to learn how to fly more than anything in the world. And so we went out to the airport, and he learned how to fly. And he was exquisite. He was excellent. when he was motivated by something that turned him on, he was excellent. I tried to teach him sailing and scuba diving and all that good stuff, you know, swimming, and no way. I had to send him to the YMCA to have him learn how to swim. They wouldn't take no for an answer. They made sure he learned. And so then, as I told you the story, his mother was very fearful of him not knowing how to swim and playing in the boats all the time. And so we went out in the middle of Newport Bay, in Newport Beach, California, and Mark and I had a prearranged agreement. In the middle of the bay, he'd jump out of the boat and swim to shore and back. And so he jumped out of the boat and faced it, "Well, what about my baby?" You know, and he was 13, somewhere in there. And he swam to shore, and he swam back out again. And she said, "Oh my God, I'm never going to have to worry about you, am I?" But you see, she was a worrywart, and it took a big burden off her back. We had to do something dramatic to make it stick with her. And she never worried about that. Oh, all sorts, everything. All of a sudden, she did. But we should be very careful that we don't let people make us happy or sad, because we're limited by them. Now, if Mark's teachers in school had been encouraging to him and said, "Mark, you got tremendous genius in you. I know teachers should be able to see that. Teachers should be able to look at a child and see their potential. And if it's not there, to pretend it is. But say, you got tremendous potential. I don't know what you're going to be, but you're going to be good whatever you're going to be. You're going to be a success." And he would rise to it. They'd all rise to it. Don't look at the obvious and say, "You're getting poor grades, that means you're stupid." It means basically you're unchallenged. You're unchallenged. And so if the teacher makes you unhappy because you got poor grades, then what happens? What happens is that you have a problem. What happens is that you have no desire to go further. You have no desire to improve yourself. No desire whatsoever. It's silly, isn't it? Crazy world. Okay, now be careful how you act. Be careful how you create your life. Be careful the things that you let bother you. One of our deals is untouchability. We are untouched by others around us. We're untouched by their world. We're untouched by how they respond to us. Looks nice, doesn't it, Ellen? Mm-hmm. We're untouched by life. I just put up three coat hangers up here. One's a two or twos and one's a three. And it looks so much nicer than having a coat rack standing there with coats hanging on them. This will look really nice. But, you see, if I had told everybody what I was going to do before I did it, they would have said, "Oh, no, don't screw up the wall, don't do this, and it'll do this, and it'll do that, and it'll do the other." But when I did it and showed them after I did it what I did, they said, "Yeah, it's okay." And if they don't say it's okay, I'll shoot them. So, you see, they all agree that it's okay. Now, we want to be in charge of ourselves. And we can't be in charge of ourselves if we're going to let anybody get to us. If we're going to let anybody get to us. Ain't got them talking to you. Anybody. And if you let somebody get to you, I am happy that they got to you. I am happy that they make you unhappy. I am happy that they make you sad and make you angry and make you pissed off. I am real happy about that, because you, as God, are creating that type of world for yourself, and that's silly. And Sylvia, you do that same thing. Yes. You are so happy whenever you can pick on the little kid. Whenever you can pick on little old Inga, the little kid Inga, shut up. Whenever you can pick on the little kid Inga, it just tickles your heart. And I can just see it, the juices of happiness run down your face. Now, all of you, and Dodie, my goodness sakes, Dodie's sitting here waiting for a repartee that she can spot out as all of the rest of you are acting so idiotic. And her repartee is, "Oh, you finally looked up. Oh, you're opening your eyes. Oh, life is showing that you're doing good." Right, Dodie? And Ellen, my goodness, she is the worst of the lot. Ellen does not know how to be a frowner. She does not know how to be a downer. She does not know how to be angry. She does not know how to be picky. She does not know how to do anything except love. And that's why her husband just couldn't take it. Her husband loved her so much, and he had to say, "Sweetheart, look, you got so much love to give. You better go and give it at the university." And so she did. And then he went off with another woman. But that was just part of life, wasn't it, Ellen?
Yes, and then he left the woman alone.
Yeah, they left the woman. But because he knew he had the very best in the beginning. So we must be very careful of ourselves, how we create our world. And if anyone can make us happy, they can make us sad. And they will. They will. If we are master of ourselves, we make ourselves happy. We make ourselves in charge of our world. We make ourselves the only ones that we rely upon. Then everything is in order. So please do that. Please do that. Be your own master. Be your own God. Be your own. Don't be God for anybody else. You look at the rest of the world and you see what a shambles it's in. That's because there's a shambles in your own heart. If you look at the rest of the world and you see, hey, look at this good stuff here and this good stuff. Hey, yeah, I see that. Man, oh man, isn't that gorgeous? Ellen is rather blind, and she's getting blinder every day. We were in Ghana and Nigeria, all three places. And everywhere we went, Ellen looked at the women in their glorious garb, in their bright colors. She had no idea what troubles were going on underneath that dress. She had no idea what troubles were going on in their hearts, going on in their lives, going on in their world. All she saw was these brilliant ladies with the light in their heart for brightness and colors. She blessed them, and she blessed them, and she blessed them. And those women wanted to get close to Ellen. They didn't know Ellen. They didn't have any idea what she was doing. They didn't realize that she was not cursing the darkness, but she was blessing the light. Because Ellen has never learned how to curse. And that's a beautiful thing. So, oh yeah, she gets it all is right. Sylvia, I'm going to pick on you some more.
Oh yeah, go for it.
Go for it. Untouchable.
Which one is it?
Yeah, all of them. You're one-pointed, untouched, unpossessed, and non-judgmental. Yeah. So that's great. But really, go around telling Sylvia how wonderful she is. Go around telling Sylvia what a great girl she is. Go around telling Sylvia how wonderfully she sets type and how beautifully she proofreads. Go around telling Sylvia how thoughtful and considerate she is. Go around and Sylvia say, "Enough already, enough!" Because Sylvia wants to say it about herself. Because that's the only statement that makes any difference. If we ever have people giving us compliments, it very soon becomes too much. And we say, "Enough already. I've had enough. I will give it to myself when I want it." And this is the way it should be. So, I love you. Have a wonderful day. That is my thought for today. You make me happy. And I love you.